For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and I will be back next week for another great show. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. Remember, we're brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, a local health and wellness pharmacy, been in the area for over 40 years, offering people the best in safe compounding pharmacy, regular pharmacy, and over 10,000 different SKUs for natural products, everything from vitamins and minerals to shampoos and skincare and moisturizers. We are a wonderful source for finding all of your health and wellness needs. Of course, today we are bringing you a great show as we do every week. We've been doing the show, The Essentials of Healthy Living, for over 5 years now, every week having great special guests and covering great topics. If you'd like to listen to any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free, it's a wonderful resource to educate yourself on health and wellness topics. You can go to www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a little microphone icon. Click on that, and it'll take you to our archive show section. Everything is sorted by date, and we even have a favorite pick section where myself and my co-host Dana went through and picked out our favorite shows over the last 5 years for you to listen to. So again, today we have a great show lined up as usual. We're going to be talking about something very topical right now. It is October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And on the phone with me today, I have Dr. Richard Powers, who's going to be discussing with us some topics that you've never heard of when it comes to breast health. We're going to be discussing some of the controversy around mammography over it's been about 2 to 3 years, maybe even a little longer. There's been a lot of conflicting news reports and studies regarding the guidelines for mammography for women. Originally, all women were supposed to start with annual mammography starting at age 40, and that was the recommended model, based on widespread recommendations for mammography that had been around for a long time. Well, as the data started to get picked apart a little closer, different bodies, including a government agency who was tasked with looking at the effectiveness, did a long-term investigation and research into it and decided that starting mammography at age 40 was not something that showed any major benefit, and they recommended that women not start until age 50. Now, different cancer societies and other groups, doctors, physicians, hospitals, there's been a lot of controversy. Some say absolutely not. The benefits are worth it. You can catch early breast cancers and you can help save women's lives. Other people look at the statistics and say, no, you would have to screen hundreds of thousands of women to detect even one life-saving breast cancer case with using mammography starting at that age. So again, there's been a lot of controversy. Women aren't exactly sure always what to do. They're getting conflicting data from their doctors. They're getting conflicting data from government bodies that are supposed to be taking a third-party sort of unbiased approach to looking at things. And we're going to cover today some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses of mammography, and hopefully not tell you what to do, but share with you information so that you can make an educated guess, or not a guess, an educated decision based on what you feel is best for you and your body. In addition, what I'm really excited about is this goes way beyond mammography. I mean, mammography is one tool. Whether it's good at 40 or good at 50, it's still only one tool. There is a huge amount of resources and other ways to evaluate your body, the way your body utilizes hormones, metabolizes hormones. There's other ways of imaging the breast that are potentially much safer and much more accurate than mammography in detecting different patterns or problems associated before breast cancer even starts. There are lots of different tools that we can talk about, nutritional factors, supplements that help your body deal with hormones that can significantly reduce the risk factors associated with developing a breast cancer. These are things that every single woman needs to know about. The whole idea of breast cancer and breast cancer awareness has to do with creating a culture that allows people to feel comfortable about a disease they're completely terrified of. Then the reality is we don't have any proactive tools. It's really watch and wait. The only proactive tool that is offered is mammography and self-breast exams. And what I'm telling you is that those tools are not as good as we thought. They miss a lot of breast cancers, especially if you have a woman who has dense breast tissue. Mammography can be up to 60% of breast cancers can be missed. That means if a woman has dense breast tissue, 60% of the time a breast cancer will be missed on mammography because the density of the breast tissue actually makes it difficult for the radiologist to read the mammogram appropriately. And there have been several states that have enacted legislation that it requires the doctors and radiologists to inform a woman after a mammography if she has dense breast tissue to let her know that this is not a good screening tool for you. You need an ultrasound or different ways to evaluate your breast health if you really want to be proactive. And again, early screening and screening tools are one way to be proactive, but there is so much more. There are very well-documented scientific approaches to looking at nutrition, to looking at supplements, again, to looking at the way that your body metabolizes hormones, the way that it works with hormones, different hormone levels that all significantly predict breast cancer risk. And we need to look at that. And women need to be educated and need to have more tools. So it's not just this watch and wait and twiddle my thumbs and wait till I get bad news. So I am not the expert on this. I know somewhat about it, and that's why we have our special guest. Dr. Richard Powers studied a pre-medical curriculum at Tulane University and in 1980 received his doctorate in chiropractic medicine. He has received extensive experience and postgraduate training in both the U.S. and abroad and is well-versed in the fields of biological and functional medicine, clinical nutrition, exercise physiology, homeopathic medicine, and lifestyle counseling. After establishing the Holistic Healing Center in Atlanta, Dr. Powers relocated to Stuart, Florida, where he co-founded the Holistic Medical Center. He is a member of the American Holistic Health Association and is on the editorial peer review board of the Alternative Medicine Review. Dr. Powers is also a former biological medicine research associate of the Occidental Institute Research Foundation. He has appeared on numerous cable network broadcasts and radio talk shows. He has been teaching courses in healthy living and thinking to both lay and professional audience for over 3 decades. If you want to learn more about Dr. Powers, his practice, and the information he has out there, you can go to www.healthcoachdoctor.com. Dr. Powers, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
So good to be here.
So, you know, obviously my intro, I talked about some of these aspects around, you know, screening, early prevention, breast cancer awareness. You know, I really would love for you to just start by sort of sharing some of your philosophies when women come to you or what you would like to share with people and specifically women about proactive breast health.
Well, the first thing that I make sure is that we're talking about breast health, we're talking about breast cancer. We've got to back up and we've got to say, you know, what is cancer? How does it happen? And then it becomes more obvious about where to head and how to evaluate it. So in very stripped down, simple terms, cancer occurs because our cells go bad. They go bad because the DNA goes bad. The DNA goes bad because it gets damaged. And it gets damaged because of excessive exposure to toxicity and a combination of our resources are not up to snuff to maintain the defenses of these toxins. So there's two things occurring here. We've got damage to the DNA from excessive exposure to toxins, and we have a limited resources of the nutrients and the antioxidants and the protective mechanisms needed to help protect and even repair the genes when they are damaged. So right away, this leads us to, wow, we got to make sure that we minimize our exposure to toxicity, maybe even evaluate our exposure and how much toxins are in our body. And then on the flip side is to look at and evaluate our nutrient sufficiency, look at our diet, and that, of course, leads to the potential option for supplementation to help restore any deficiencies. Then we've got the immune system that knows that was built into this, our bodies because it knew that we were going to get exposed and there was going to be some damage, and yet we have repair genes to help repair it. But despite our greatest efforts that are built into our system, there's still going to be some cancer cells that are going to form and are going to happen. And to keep those in check, our immune system has a real complex and incredibly intelligent way of monitoring when these cancer cells appear and then to activate our natural killer cells, which are specialized lymphocytes, to take them down. So we've got great mechanisms in here. So that's kind of in a nutshell how cancer happens. breast cancer has an additional component in addition, which is that there's something that's throwing our hormones out of balance and how they are metabolized in our body, which then leads us to evaluating our hormone levels and how our body is metabolizing them to see if we have some of those risk factors. And that, in fact, leads us to now we've got four key areas that if we want to evaluate our risk factors for cancer, and particularly breast cancer, is looking at our toxic exposure and levels, look at our nutrient sufficiency, check our hormone levels and balances, and also check our hormone metabolites, in other words, the end products of metabolism of hormones, and see what those numbers look like. And there's some real solid, irrefutable research that indicates when these numbers and these figures move in certain directions, you are much higher risk. And we also, the good news is we also then know what to do to push those numbers back in a healthier way.
That's great. What I'd like to do when we come back from the break, Dr. Powers, is talk about those four key areas, evaluating for toxins, our nutritional status, our hormones and our hormone metabolites, and some different ways and tools that we can actually sit down and do this. Because this isn't the kind of conversation that happens when a woman walks into her OBGYN's office or, you know, for her annual exam or her primary care doctor's office and says, hey, I'm worried about breast cancer. What can I do? The answer is usually we'll get your annual mammography. This conversation is not brought up, even though there is an overwhelming amount of solid scientific research showing the predictive effects or the predictive value of some of these markers. So I'd love for you to expand on that education. When we come back from the break, we're going to be picking this conversation up. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green. And we're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy-free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder-free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and welcome back to a great show related to breast health and breast cancer awareness, because this is October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I'm talking to Dr. Richard Powers, who is a chiropractor, been practicing for over 30 years, and working to educate people on health and wellness. He is the founder of the Holistic Healing Center. Is it the Holistic Medical Center in Florida? And if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Powers and his practice, you can go to www.healthcoachdoctor.com. So Dr. Powers, in the last segment, we left off talking about some of the four key factors that you like to look into specific to breast cancer. And you did a great overview of some different factors that contribute to cancer in general. I was hoping to pick up the conversation here in this segment and discuss, share with us any other general factors that you like to look at when it comes to cancer issues, and then really specifically break down some of those key factors that you like to look at related to breast health.
Great. So blood sugar regulation and knowing how well your body is regulating blood sugar, you know, we think of diabetes or you're normal, and there's all kinds of degrees in between of how well your body is regulating blood sugar. And that's really key, because if your body's not regulating blood sugar well, that kind of creates a very nice environment for cancer cells to grow, because they like blood sugar. They need a lot of sugar because they're highly metabolic, so they need a lot of fuel. So looking at that piece is certainly important, and that's pretty much evaluated by looking at some blood factors. Thyroid is important. When you don't have enough thyroid hormone, that helps blood sugar move into cancer cells, so evaluating thyroid function is key. Stress is another key area. When you've got high levels or imbalanced levels of stress hormones, it actually impacts and lowers your natural killer cell activity, so you're more susceptible for cancer cells to proliferate. So these are all some key areas. As far as what I mentioned earlier, so toxicity, anything that could damage our DNA certainly is what propels us in the direction of that cell turning into a cancer cell. So how do you screen for that? Well, certainly a questionnaire can go a long way. Look at what toxins are coming into your body that you're exposed to through your diet, through the air, water, your environment. Down here in Florida, a lot of people golf, and there's all kinds of pesticides and herbicides and toxins that they're constantly bathing themselves in. So questionnaires can go a long way to reveal sources of toxic exposure. There's a visual contrast sensitivity test that is a neat little, instead of an acuity test for eyesight, it's a contrast sensitivity test, and that it seems to be related with toxic exposure and how it's affecting the body and ultimately impairs someone's contrast sensitivity, not to the degree necessarily that, you know, they're going to be blind, but to a degree that can be tested and give another indication. And certainly there's blood tests that can be used through different labs that can actually measure levels of toxins in red cells in your body. There's hair analysis that gives certain clues. What I found over the years is that there really isn't one great way to measure a lot of these factors. So you gather a lot of clues from history, from questionnaires, from an examination, and then you use these supplemental tests, and you put together a composite that then really points out what's jumping off the page that's obvious that could be making this person susceptible to cancer. So that's where we go as far as toxicity. Nutrient levels, same scenario. You know, have them fill out a diet questionnaire, a diet checklist, write down what they eat for several days. We can start to get some clues of what things may be missing in their diet, specific nutrients that help protect the body and help the DNA cells repair themselves. And of course, there's blood tests. We do some simple in-office urine tests that help us measure calcium and vitamin E and vitamin C and indications of bowel health, where toxins can also come from. And then, of course, there's all kinds of amazing advances in blood testing now that actually do a composite of testing and corroborate all the information and say, wow, we've got 10 things that say you're low in magnesium, you're low in these certain antioxidants. And then we could be much more specific and targeted in recommending what this person needs. So that's really in general in cancer. When we're talking about sex hormone-sensitive cancers like breast cancer, now there's hormone tests that you can do. Traditionally, it's done in blood, but I have found a lot of research that's compelling that checking hormone levels in saliva seems to be more representative of what's going on in the body, so I usually turn in that direction more frequently. And then there's ratios of estrogen and progesterone and numbers and all kinds of values and, like I said, ratios between these different hormone levels that the research says, oh, if it goes this way or that way, that's you're at increased risk. And the good news is that we know if those levels move too high, too low, or in the wrong direction, we know that there's certain directions and certain things and actions and supplements and nutrients that people can do and take that can help move that in a better direction. And then there's the urinary hormone metabolites, which means we look in the urine and we see how does the body metabolize these hormones, especially estrogen, when we're talking about breast cancer. And we look and we see, again, certain ratios of certain things of these metabolites in the urine. We know for sure if that number goes too high, too low, that you're a much higher risk. We know what to do to move it. We make those recommendations with diet and supplements. And we retest, and those numbers move into a better direction. We're good to go. So these are some key areas with respect to that. Do you want me to go into?
Yeah, I'd like to. The aspect of urinary metabolites is one that I'd like to focus on a little bit, because from what I understand, and Dr. Powers, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, there is a lot of pretty solid research regarding the different urinary metabolites of estrogen and how they affect breast cells and other hormone sensitive cells. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you just explain a little bit about what these metabolites are, where they come from, and just that process of how estrogen, you know, comes from the ovary and then ends up getting excreted, and how this whole process sort of comes to pass and its significance in this whole conversation?
Well, that could be an hour discussion, but let's talk about the most relevant piece. So the most relevant piece is there's actually three different types of estrogen. Most simply speaking, estriol, estradiol, and estrone. And testosterone can be converted easily into estradiol and estrone, and estrone and estradiol can be converted back and forth. The body has incredible backup mechanisms to try and maintain the balance that it wants. Unfortunately, we go above and beyond knowingly and unknowingly with the way we live and our lifestyles and our stress and our diets and lack of exercise that really challenge the limits of the body's ability to compensate. But nonetheless, this estrogen gets converted into estrone, and estrone could then go down several pathways. It could be converted into 2-hydroxyestrone, 4-hydroxyestrone, and 16-hydroxyestrone. The 2-hydroxy pathway that we want it to go shows is much more cancer protective. The 4-hydroxyestrone is very carcinogenic. In other words, the higher those levels, the greater the risk for cancer. And the 16-hydroxyestrone is another pathway that also is not desirable. So one of the ratios that is looked at is the ratio, how much 2-hydroxyestrone do you have compared to the 16 form? And there should be at least twice as much 2 as a 16. When it drops below 2, and proportionately how much it drops below that, there's a preponderance of data that shows that you're at a higher risk for getting breast cancer.
Yeah, and that's a very easy, relatively inexpensive test that can be done at home and sent off to help you understand how your body is metabolizing these hormones. Now, can we talk a little bit about some of the different factors that dictate how your body metabolizes these hormones and whether or not you might be somebody that produces more higher ratios of the unfavorable metabolite versus the favorable one?
Absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, my philosophy is a painless test, a harmless test, an affordable test, and something that's really meaningful. And like I said, there's some take-home urine tests. Talk about painless and harmless. You just get up and pee in a cup and send it off to a lab.
Wow.
That's a beautiful thing. And again, very affordable. You know, we're talking, you know, $150 or so, $200 tops, and you can get a phenomenal report. So the beautiful thing, after 32 years of studying all this, not just cancer, but how the body works in health and disease, how does it happen? What creates health? What interferes with it? The beautiful thing that keeps showing up, and it's beautiful because it's simple and it's very doable, very practical, is that the same things that cause obesity and cancer and Alzheimer's and heart attacks and strokes and autoimmune diseases and all the problems, there's some very fundamental and very common underlying factors, and that is your body getting the nutrients that it needs and nourishment and the fuel? Are you getting enough sleep? Just the time the body heals and repairs. Are you moving the body sufficiently but not too much? And then are you minimizing your exposure to toxins? And at the same time, do you have a nice toolkit to handle the stress in your life? So that, you know, we could talk, and I teach courses for hours on each of those topics, but focusing in on what we're talking about here, what pushes your estrogen in the favorable direction versus the unfavorable direction, or vice versa, what moves it in the wrong direction, has everything to do with your toxic exposure, medications you're taking, certainly hormones that you take. You know, if you take synthetic hormones, if you take straight estradiol, you take synthetic hormone replacements, which has been very popular and just starting to get the information out that pushes you in the wrong direction and in the direction of breast cancer. So the fundamental things of eating a nutrient-rich diet, there are certain herbs and spices that are very helpful. And if you look at historically, this is, you know, except for the last 100 years, this is what's always been in a lot of people's diet, curcumin and green tea and, you know, things that we've heard about and we see in health food stores and we see on the news occasionally. Doesn't get a lot of press because no one's getting rich off of it, but they're in our diet. Cinnamon helps regulate blood sugar. We've heard about this. So there's herbs, there's healthy spices, there's nutrient-rich foods, the omega-3 fats, just doing what naturally is meant to be in the body pushes the body in the right direction, and what we think pushes it in the wrong direction. Certain toxins, unmanaged stress, high levels of stress hormones push us in the wrong direction. It's a beautiful thing because, you know, it's helpful to understand the physiology and the chemistry and how this works. But at the end of the day, there's some simple tests, which I want to make sure we hit the six top tests that you can do, that are painless and harmless, that are meaningful and very affordable, that give you data that tell you what steps to take. And ultimately, it's going to be leading you in a direction of getting more restorative sleep so you can heal and repair, get the right exercise, and certainly everyone needs some instruction and guidance about what that means. And in eating a nutrient-rich diet, you know, like Michael Pollan said, you know, eat real food, which means not so processed, mm-hmm. more plants. That's where all your phytonutrients and polyphenols are that push this in all in the right direction, and not too much. And I think if you eat the right foods, you don't tend to eat too much. But so, in summary, the beautiful thing is the solutions are very simple, and there are some very specific things that you can do depending on your test results. So it is smart to go ahead and get some of these tests done and evaluate your risk factors. And then there's things we can talk about, too. We need to move into, like, breast thermography and some other pieces.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to pick that up in the next segment for sure. I want to talk about thermography. We're going to have to take a quick break. But thank you for summarizing that. It is just so important to emphasize that the things that we always are recommending to support general health are the same thing that will help your body to process these estrogens in a more favorable way. And as Dr. Powers pointed out, there are some key nutrients, turmeric or curcumin. They're the same thing, just different names. One's a botanical name, one's a common name. This is a spice that has been used for centuries and is great at helping the liver to metabolize these hormones in a more favorable way. Also, you cannot have this conversation without discussing some of the cruciferous vegetables, some of the extracts and components that are in broccoli and the other cruciferous vegetables we know are key regulators in helping the body to push the estrogen metabolism down the more favorable route. And this is such a great tool to use, the predictive value and the clinical information that this can give a woman about her risk factors for developing breast cancer are extremely valuable. And it is something that can be done, as Dr. Powers pointed out, that's minimally invasive, that is very cost effective, and that most of all, there's an actionable step that can be done if there is a problem. You can get one of these tests and subsequently change your diet and lifestyle. Introduce key nutrient supplementation, repeat the test, and see the ratios change. So just from that, as a woman, you know that you've done something very significant for supporting and ensuring optimal breast health. And this is, again, something that isn't typically brought up in a regular doctor's office visit, which is why we want to share it with you today. So when we come back from the break, as I alluded to, we're going to be discussing thermography, which is a really wonderful tool for evaluating breast health that women need to know about. And it should be a really great segment. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. And we're going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and I hope you all are enjoying the show today on breast health. We've been discussing and talking with Dr. Powers about different strategies for looking at evaluating breast health. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, right now the only real proactive tool that women have for evaluating their breast health is mammography and self-breast exams. And, you know, to be honest, they are early screening tools, but they're not the type of screening tools. It's not the type of preventative, proactive, actionable steps that we would like women to have to deal with this very common, often devastating condition that seems to be growing exponentially over the years. So what we're trying to introduce to you today are concepts and other tools and strategies that you can use to effectively evaluate the health of your breast by looking at the health of your hormone ratios, as we talked about in the last segment, by looking at the health of your diet, by looking at the health of your body related to toxin exposure, because we know these are all things that are real contributors to the development of cancer, and in some of the instances, specifically hormone-related cancers like breast cancer. So the urinary metabolite test that we discussed in the last segment is so incredibly important for women to know about and is something that most women should consider doing if they want to take a proactive approach to keeping their bodies healthy and, in particular, keeping their breasts healthy. Now, in this segment, We alluded to discussing thermography, but before we get into that, I'd like Dr. Powers, if you don't mind, to comment a little bit on mammography, because again, that is what is considered to be the gold standard of almost, you know, of prevention, basically, is to go get mammography. But what we understand and what the research has shown us in the last few years is that mammography, although it does save lives, right, although it does have some use, the effectiveness that was the idea of its effectiveness was way overstated than what it really is. And I think that's something that women need to know about and hear about. And it's that information has come out and has created a lot of confusion for a lot of people. So if you could please comment.
Great. So first of all, breast cancer is the number one cause of death in women from 34 to 55. This is huge. And not only is it a cancer, it's a breast cancer, so you're talking about disfiguring a woman. This is a big deal. In 1940, 1 in 22 women were diagnosed with breast cancer. 2004, 1 in 7. And now 2012, it's more like 1 in 4. It's going in the wrong direction, and it's because we haven't been using and following a strategy of evaluating and turning this in another direction that actually works. I mean, just look at the numbers. So let's look at the numbers with mammography. And I got to tell you, Doc, that, and the people listening in, that I am not I'm not against anything. I'm just for things that work. What I've done for 32 years is just keep looking and looking and looking, observing, and saying what can predictably guide people in healthier directions, both to evaluate their risks, evaluate their current state of health, and what actions have been shown to turn that in a better direction. So when I did my research in mammography, I said, okay, let me look at the New England Journal of Medicine, a study done, 1,900 women over 3 years. 60% of the breast cancers that ultimately were discovered were missed by mammography. Then we look in National Cancer Institute, right? I'm not looking at some, local magazine and some anecdotes. I'm looking at where's the top of the food chain here, the research chain. National Cancer Institute, 2005, did a study and looked at 10,000 mammograms of women that have had mammograms. 97% of the people that had positive mammograms, 97% of those positive mammograms, when these women were told, we got a problem, Houston, 97% of those mammograms that they were told that these are positive, there's some cancer here, there's a problem, 97% turned out to be false positives. And the conclusion of this National Cancer Institute study in 2005 said that 1 to 2 lives may be extended for every 10,000 mammograms. That's not good. That's not good enough. That's probably why, we're moving in the wrong direction.
Right, because the real question is, out of those 10,000, yes, if there was no risk or no problems associated with doing the mammography, then maybe you could consider it to be acceptable. But the question is how much harm did the 10,000 mammogram cause other women's false diagnosis, unnecessary biopsies, unnecessary surgeries, unnecessary worry and stress, money spent, correct? Don't you have to take that into consideration?
And what about the fact that trauma and ionizing radiation, X-ray, mammography, that's what you're getting, you're compressing and traumatizing the breast and then radiating it with X-rays, ionizing radiation. And those are two known causes to initiate, and if you already initiate cancer, and to potentially allow it to spread, to metastasize. So, wow, there's a lot of downside, what you said plus what I said, and there's very little upside. In fact, if I look at in the Lancet in 1995, right, this is 17 years ago. The benefit is marginal, the harm it causes is substantial, and the costs incurred are enormous. So we need to have better tools. So this is bad news that wow, what we've been counting on is what we've had. The good news is that we've got a lot of ways to put together pieces now, and we'll go into breast thermogram now, that can actually put together the pieces that will provide the not just the early detection, but clues before the cancer even forms that you're running in that wrong direction. So let's talk about breast thermography. So thermography is really very simple. Basically, thermoheatography. So we're measuring the heat radiation off the body. So it's just a sensor that's measuring heat that comes off the body. And the reality is where there's cancer, there's got to be more blood flow. And there's got to be more blood where there's cancer, because cancer cells need more fuel. They work at a much higher level of metabolism. So they need a lot more fuel, so therefore they increase blood flow, and then they actually stimulate new blood vessels and to get that fuel to the cancer cells. So if this is happening in the breast, and you measure the heat coming off the breast, you will see more heat coming off in an area that now is becomes a suspicious site for a developing breast cancer. And by the way, we're talking long before actual tumor cell actually exists. For mammography to even potentially pick up a tumor cell, even if it was right in that 3% of the times that it picks up something it thinks is cancer, it's got to be at least a centimeter, like a half an inch big. So this is early detection. We're talking with breast thermography. You can pick this up physiologically 5-10 years before it ever forms into a tumor. That's a beautiful thing. Plus, breast thermography will pick up things more specifically in the more rapid-growing, aggressive breast cancers in younger women, which you alluded to earlier, is a more dense tissue. So exactly in the situations when you've got the more aggressive, the more the worst forms of cancer, and the more most difficult ways to evaluate mammography, thermography, these thermograms can pick up on it. And so basically it takes a picture of the heat radiation off of the body. In this case, breast thermography, we're looking at the breast. And what they're looking for is areas of higher levels of heat, especially compared to one side to the other. And then you do another one, you look in 3 months, so you're looking over time, is this getting worse and worse and worse? In which case, if there's anything suspicious, now you dig in deeper. Maybe go get a breast ultrasound. See, every type of breast evaluation tool gives another angle, a little different picture of what's happening as far as breast health and the possibility of breast cancer. So breast thermography is a beautiful thing. First of all, it's painless, it's harmless, it's a couple $100. You know, and it picks up on things for sure. Now, is there any one tool, including a breast thermogram, that I would say, hey, you're good to go if that's clean, you're clean? No, unfortunately, it's not as easy as that. But you add that tool in, and you do a breast ultrasound, which is pretty painless and harmless, just some sound waves, no ionizing radiation, no big compression on the breast. Now you get another little image from a little different direction, seeing how sound waves are bouncing off the breast tissue. Then you do these urinary metabolite tests and some salivary hormone tests, and we get clues of risks and ratios there. And we're starting to get a composite, we're starting to get a picture of risk factors. And then if push comes to shove, and you say, you know what, there's too much evidence that puts too much question in the mix here. We have cause for some concern. Then you can do an MRI. MRI is magnetic. There's no ionizing radiation. Very little breast compression. Still in a pretty non-invasive direction. And if ultimately you want to know for sure black and white, you can add to the MRI what's called MR spectroscopy. And that's been shown in studies to be 100% accurate as a biopsy. And the problem with biopsies is that as soon as you puncture into the breast, you're doing several things. One, you're damaging cells. So if they were borderline cancerous, it's another force pushing them in the wrong direction. And if there is cancer there, part of the body's defense mechanism, after all else fails, is they're trying to wall it off and seal it. And now we're puncturing that seal, so now it can get into the blood supply and spread in the body. So biopsy, sometimes it's necessary. I tell people, I'm not against any medication or any surgery, just when you need to and everything else fails. So sometimes you need to jump right to it, but most of the times you gather up these different pieces of evidence that tell us about breast health, the breast thermogram, a breast ultrasound, these salivary urinary metabolites, and tests in that regard, nutrient levels, indications of how your blood sugar is regulating, and you start to get a picture. And if there's any question, then you do your MRI. If you have to go deeper, you do the MR spectroscopic. And even if it's the problem with MR spectroscopy is it's if there was one every place that was a mammography device, we'd be in good shape. But it's very hard to find in this country right now. It's mostly in just specific university centers, and it's very expensive and difficult. As you go through all these steps and you get through MRI and ultrasound and breast thermogram, all these tests, and you go, you know what, it's not looking good. Well, even if you have to do a biopsy at that point, at least most people have avoided many, many biopsies, and now you're doing it when you're sure you have it and you got to take some action.
Yeah, I would imagine that the most difficult barrier in this is that if you decided that you wanted to take this route, you know, insurance may be willing to cover a biopsy, but they might not be willing to cover an ultrasound or an MRI.
Yes, and the other thing is who's ordering the breast ultrasound and the MRI? Mm-hmm. It's the doctor that says, well, let's get a mammogram first. I mean, you know, I've shared this and taught this to my patients over the years, and they'll go back to their OBGYN, and, you know, some are open, some work, and some say, look, you know, mammography is it, and this is how we got to go. So, you know, I tell people, I say, look, I could tell you what I found, what my research, this is my passion, is to find out, you know, what promotes health and what interferes with it, spread the word, what's the good, wholesome ways to go about preserving your health and living your best life. And you're going to run into some things because when you walk out of my room or off, hang up from this, turn off your radio, you know, you've got to walk back into the world as it is. So, you know, you do the best you can. Probably the best thing you can do is get an advocate, a medical expert advocate, which is usually a naturopath or a chiropractor like myself who has decided to pursue holistic medicine, integrative medicine, and get them to guide you and support you because this is not something that you can do on your own, and at the same time, you can't turn to your conventional internist or physician. They're just not aware of this information. It's not like they're bad people. They're just not aware of this, and what's worse is they're not aware that it even that what they're not aware of. So you got to get some support. You got to get some help. It's not necessarily an easy route, but you know, everything great usually takes a little effort and a little focus.
Sure. So, I mean, the thermography, what we're really trying to design here is an overall approach, a more thorough approach to really evaluating breast health rather than just using mammography alone, which is pretty much where things have been. And it's a concern on several fronts. One, because, you know, we have established that mammography is maybe not as accurate or precise as we would like it to be. The research is very clear, specifically in women with dense breast tissue, up to 60% of women with a cancer with dense breast tissue will get missed on mammography. And this has been such a clear issue. Again, there's been four or five states that have passed legislation requiring women who have dense breast tissue to be notified of such so that they can go get an ultrasound, which is much more sensitive at detecting it. And then there's this whole other aspect of these other tools that have come about, non-radiating tools like MRI and ultrasound that can be very specific and a lot more accurate in getting an image of the breast using something like thermography, which isn't necessarily looking for a cancer mass. It's looking for changes that occur when a cancer is present or changes that occur prior to a tumor forming, which is, again, as Dr. Powers pointed out, a very powerful tool because it can be predictive. We can see trends or patterns in a woman's breast tissue. We can track it. We can introduce interventions that help minimize it, follow it up, and see those changes dissipate. And there's very clear research showing that thermography is very predictive. In the thermographic changes seen can be very predictive of future cancer risk in certain sites. So again, some people like to promote thermography as a replacement for mammography. What you have to understand is that not exactly what we're advocating. We're advocating taking a more comprehensive approach to looking at your breast health. And all of these tools that Dr. Powers has shared with you today are some of the most cutting-edge tools available to help you understand more about your body, more about your hormones, and more about the health of your breast tissue in a very proactive way. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be wrapping up this conversation. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back in just a minute.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylic Oxinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from Enzymatic Therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalarti from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalarti provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalarti is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and we're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you lots of great information related to your health and wellness. Don't forget, if you missed the big grand opening sale, the Village Green completely renovated itself, and after, about 30-some years, from top to bottom, it is all new inside, new layouts, everything new. It is a beautiful new environment. If you haven't been there in a while, check it out. It's a great place to get your health and wellness needs met. Today, we've been talking about breast health in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October. And we've been talking with Dr. Richard Powers. He is a chiropractor. And he is a leading advocate and educator in the field of holistic and natural medicine. He has a private practice in Florida. And if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Powers, his practice, and some of the educational materials that he has, please go to www.healthcoachdoctor.com. Dealing with issues related to oncology and specifically breast health is a passion of his. He spent many, many hours researching and educating people on this topic specifically. And today we've been trying to help introduce tools for you that help give you a better idea of how to evaluate your breast health in general. And in the last segment, we talked about mammography. We talked about some of the problems with thermography and some of the problems with mammography. So Dr. Powers, in this last segment, do you have any other things that you want to discuss or talk about related to these different ideas and concepts we've introduced?
Yes, I think the most important takeaway that I would hope to leave everyone with is that okay, bad news is that turns out mammography misses a lot of cancers when they're there, and by the time they pick them up, it's way down the pipe. And at the same time, 97% false positive. So that's the bad news. But the good news is at the same time that we've learned that mammography is not nearly as useful tool for monitoring breast health and development of breast cancer as we hoped, there are lots of tools. So I want to kind of go in order of kind of the scenario of what I think about if someone sat down in front of me and say, hey, what is my risk for breast cancer? What's the probability that I have it or am I going to have it? So certainly you want to look at, have they had cancer before? Is their environment in their body ready to go to form some cancer anyway? The next question is, if they have and if they've had, then looking, of course, is has anyone in their family had cancer, and especially if they've had breast cancer? Because, again, you inherit certain weaknesses. The genetics don't tell you if you're going to have something. It just tells you if you have a particular Achilles heel, a weakness in a particular area. And then if you do good, then you're more diligent to make sure that you shore it up. Have you been on medications? Have you taken any hormone therapy in the past, especially birth control hormone replacement, these synthetic hormones? They've all been shown to push us in that direction. There are any underlying risk factors, right? Do you have problems with blood sugar regulation, thyroid, nutrient deficiencies, toxic exposure? So you look at those pieces. There's a self-breast exam. You are going to catch some. There's the breast thermogram. That's going to catch more. There's an ultrasound, and there's doing the hormone test to measure different levels and ratios in saliva and urine. And then we can go dig deeper, and I don't know if I mentioned ultrasound, of course. Then there's MRI, and ultimately MR spectroscopy evaluations if that's available. So that definitely is going to give you a real good picture, way far more accurate, meaningful than how insensitive and unspecific, you know, mammograms are. So, you know, if you get one, the downside of getting one is that if it says you don't have breast cancer, it's missing a lot of them, and I don't want people to rest assured that they're safe. And at the same time, if it says you do, 97% of the time you don't. So there's a lot of unnecessary alarm, and that's huge. That's not like saying you may have a splinter. I mean, this is a big thing. They freak out. People freak out until they even hear the results. So that's a downside. And then, of course, at the best-case scenario, it's just telling you once you have it. And there's so many of these tests and these pieces that you can put together to actually see if you're moving in that direction before you even have breast cancer, when you have the right environment to form. And then the solutions are going to lie in making sure you're nutrient sufficient. I mean, there's direct studies and tons of studies linking vitamin D sufficiency, selenium, iodine, folic acid, antioxidants. I mean, there's so many pieces, making sure you got enough fiber in your diet. Flaxseed is really important for breast health, turmeric and curcumin and spices. There's so many pieces that can be gone to move your body in a better direction. And with the right testing and evaluation, you can get very targeted about where you need to push back and how. And there's even genetic testing that could be done. And in fact, I guess we should close and mention that there's tests now to check if you have these gene repairs and if these special breast cancer repair genes. And if you don't, then it's going to be a problem. And they recommend it if you have these genes, if they test you, which is about a $2,000-$3,000 test, that they cut your breasts off. And I think there's a lot more we can do before we got to start that extreme. So there's a lot of hope out there, and there's a lot of great things. And I just hope people have been left with a greater sense of what they can do to really ensure that they are taken good care of and can live their best life.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Powers, for being on the phone with us today. Again, everybody, if you want to learn more about Dr. Powers and his practice and his mission to educate people related to health and wellness, you can visit his website at www.healthcoachdoctor.com. So, Dr. Powers, thanks so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Becerro. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Well, everybody, that pretty much wraps it up. I think Dr. Power's overall message is really important. What we're here to say today is that there's a lot more to determining your breast health than just using mammography. We're not recommending that people stop getting mammograms. We're not recommending that you go against the recommendations of your doctor, but you need to look into it. You need to understand what the real data and science is. The data and science on women getting mammograms starting at age 40 is very controversial, and it needs to be something that you look into to decide whether or not it's right for you. Because as Dr. Powers pointed out, getting ionizing radiation and trauma to the breast can be a risk factor for developing cancer. Doesn't mean you're going to get it if you do start, but these are the things that you need to think about. Now, what we also need to consider is that their mammogram has been touted as the best way to determine whether or not you have breast cancer. And what we're here to tell you today is that it's not as good as we think it is. Now, it might be scary, but the real good side and the upside to this conversation today is there are other tools out there that can be really useful in helping you to understand what the health of your breast is. So your doctor may look at you and say, you know what? Yes, you have dense breast tissue, and mammograms may miss a breast cancer 60% of the time in you. You need to get a referral for ultrasound if that's the case. That is pretty much the gold standard in medicine. And if you have dense breast tissue, or if you have a mammogram and haven't been told, you need to ask. And it will often say right on the report whether or not there was a lot of density. And if that is on there and you have not been told that, you need to advocate for yourself that you get an ultrasound. And insurance companies are usually required to cover ultrasounds in women that have dense breast tissue. That is very, very important. If you have strong risk factors, a strong family history of breast cancer, you have a sister, you have a mother, you have close relatives that have had breast cancer and you're worried about it, you really need to think about exercising some of these other tools. Because just getting an annual mammography and doing your self-breast exam is not enough. What is your vitamin D status? What is your antioxidant status? What is your nutrient status? These things need to be evaluated and looked at, and you need to look into thermography, hormone urinary metabolite evaluation. You need to look into all of these tools. So I hope you all learned something today. I sure did. It was great to have Dr. Powers on. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, wishing you all the best of health.
The joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.